Hello and welcome to Retro Rewind, a product of our Patreon over at patreon.com/NintendoDads. We're happy for you to join us tonight for a discussion on Metroid Prime. Zach, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is February 1st. What? This is, of course, Retro Rewind, brought to you by patreon.com/NintendoDads. All you beautiful people out there making these things happen, we're super excited for this. It's been a long time in the making, but Metroid Prime, everybody. So joining me tonight, first up, we've got the man from the South, Marty Estes. What's going on, man?
It is going, and I'm ready. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, you could say that you're primed and ready. Is that Martimus primed and ready? Yeah, anyways. Oh boy. I'm going to...
Dad jokes, guys. Dad jokes.
Nintendo dad's jokes.
Gotta have it.
Yeah, there you go. Joining us as well, Josh, what are you, N64 Josh, right?
Yeah, like, that's it. That's me.
That actually is on his birth certificate, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I don't want to mislead people here. That's, you know, to each his own. That's fine. We accept everyone here. That's good. But yeah. No, so Josh, we're excited to have you here. This is honestly like one of my favorite game series. I feel like it hit, and I think we're going to go around and just, first off, I think we said this in the pre-show. I'm going to say this now, and we'll probably do it again later, but the music in this game, I'm going to turn it back up for a second. Like, Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. So anyways, I feel like this game, and I want to go around the circle, but, or this triangle or whatever it is. It's a very round triangle. I feel like this game hit around the time. It actually hit right around the time that I had graduated from high school and like moved out, which is probably gonna make people feel old. I don't know. But I was that would have been like what, 2003, 2004, right, somewhere around there.
It's actually November 17th, 2002.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I picked up a GameCube around, the second half of 2003, and picked this game up as one of the first games that I got. I think I got like Metroid Prime and I think like Smash Brothers or something like that. And
it's a solid pick.
Yeah, like the pretty decent, you know, first two games for the GameCube. I think Eternal Darkness was not far behind. So, I remember getting this game, and I had, I think I've said before, I was a Sega Genesis kid. I was not a Super Nintendo kid. And then we got a 64. And so when this was actually, now that I think about it, this was my first Metroid game, Metroid Prime. And so like it kind of holds that special place in my heart, you know, like, and I had moved in with roommates and stuff like that. And my roommate was really big into the Super Nintendo version of the game. The Super Metroid, I guess, is the more correct way of saying that. And he had also, I got it or whatever. He went out and bought like Metroid Fusion as well. And I bought like the Game Boy player so we could play Metroid Fusion on the TV and all that jazz. Like I really bought into the whole Metroid franchise at this point, which was really fun. And we're going to talk about the Game Boy Advance connectivity in this. I don't know if you guys have, had a chance to play the content on the disc from Metroid Fusion, but it's pretty awesome. So we can talk about that too. Josh, let's start with you. Like, what is your like when this game came out? What was your history with the franchise up until that point? And like, how did this land with you at the time?
Okay, I'll try to give you the cliff notes since we're gonna make this a quick show. But yeah. NES is when I first touched Metroid. I grew up on a farm. That's gonna sound funny talking Metroid, but the milker that my dad had hired was like, "Hey, kid, try this game out." I was like, "Sweet," you know. So I didn't get very far because I was like six, right? So it's pretty tough, pretty tough game to play when you're six when you don't have the game genie.
Oh yeah, dude.
That's borrowed a Game Boy and Metroid 2 and got to the last, I had like two Metroids left to find and I had to return everything and was never able to finish that. So that was sad. And then Super Metroid, probably in my top five favorite games of all time. Like, I remember the end of that. Like, literally, it was the first time playing a video game that the story, like, I know there's not like a lot of story, but like seeing the interaction between the Metroid and Mother Brain and Samus at the end of that, I was like, I don't know. I was freaking out, you know, trying to tell my dad. He's like, "What is a Metroid? I have no idea what are you saying to me right now, kid? Get out of here." And so, so I've always been a fan of the series. And when Prime came out, I don't remember if I think this was after we learned that Microsoft had bought Rare. And so, like, I was like, this game has to be my Halo, like, because there's got to be a game that can beat Halo on the Nintendo system. Unfortunately, there wasn't. But I didn't put this game down. I had to play through to completion. I did get the Game Boy. I did get Fusion and was able to do all the, you know, connect to it and got squeezed every bit of content out of this thing. But it was a day one purchase for me. I was married for a couple of years when it had come out, and I remember just spending quite a bit of time playing on my Sony Trinitron, you know, 32 inch. The thing weighed like a million pounds, and I had the component cables for the GameCube back then, so you know, I had the best picture possible for Metroid Prime.
That's awesome. Right on, man. Yeah, cool. What about you, Marty?
Yeah, so I picked this up on the GameCube when it first came out, but I'm like Josh, you know, my first blush with Metroid was the original on the NES, and you know, beat it, but only because of the Justin Bailey code, you know, where you could go yeah, straight to the end, and it wasn't until many years later, like playing Zero Mission, that I was able to actually say I could, you know, completed the first Metroid game. That map, like, you don't realize it, but like having a map in Metroid makes all the difference, right? And so I had Metroid 2 on the Game Boy and made it all the way up to the Queen at the end and was never able to beat her. And then Super Metroid came out and it changed my life. I'm like Josh that way too. It's probably, I don't know that I would say top five games for me of all time, even though it's a game I go back and I play through and have played through several times since then, but I would say top five Super Nintendo games, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Definitely top five.
Yeah. I feel like that's fair.
And so then, you know, like after Super Metroid, like Nintendo forgot about it. It's yeah. Like they forgot about Dre. They stopped making Metroid games. And if you guys remember, I was actually reading up on this game earlier, that Metroid Prime and Metroid Fusion actually released on the same day.
Which, can you imagine, dude? Can you imagine, like the...
And I'm pretty sure that I bought both of them on the same day. And that, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but I feel like that probably colored my experience with Metroid Prime in a negative way.
Okay.
And that's simply because Metroid Fusion is my favorite Metroid game of all time.
It's so good. Yeah, it's really good.
I still go back and run through it. And like at the time playing Metroid Prime, I was frustrated. And I said, you know, somebody asked me this earlier, you know, do you not like this game as a, and I'll just come out and clear, I don't like this game. I don't. And maybe I need to go back and replay it again and again and again, but I did beat it finally. But there's just something about it, guys, that like something in the whole gameplay mechanism of it feels off, because to me, the visuals are fantastic. The sound is incredible. Zach playing that music earlier, I was like, yes, yes, this is what Metroid music should be. But when it comes down to the gameplay of this game, I just really struggle. I would say, and try to say this in a non-bragging way, that I feel like I'm fairly okay at video games, but I really struggled with this game to even playing boss fights multiple times, So there was just stuff that, like, for me, it kind of, I guess, cooled the enjoyment of the game.
I think, one of the things that I'm thinking of is, and maybe this has something to do with it, and this is, like, I feel like one of the things that makes the Metroid series so good, like the 2D versions, and again, like this, like the within like the past 6 months, we had one of the best Metroid games that's ever been released, right? Like as far as like just like big meaty experience, lots of exploration, stuff like that. I think there's something about the 2D ones that makes it very easy and lends itself to that exploration, and like you basically are while you're playing, you're looking at the map basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like just because it's like that sort of cross section of everything. Whereas in this one, or in the Prime series, yes, you have a map, but I felt like a lot of times, especially, like if you look up top somewhere, or, it could be really easy to miss what you were supposed to do. Like, you know what I mean? And like I feel like they did get better as time went on. Like I know a lot of people don't like the linearity of Metroid Prime 3. But I feel like that one, actually, I liked that one the best. And I also think that the motion controls were really good. Like, I feel like it's one of the games that the motion controls really were better than just using a controller, because of the motion control aiming and stuff like that. But I see what you're saying, though. Like, there is something about this game that, unless you're really, really good and you know exactly where to go, the frustration of like, well, where do I go now? Right. Like you're going to have to use a guide or something. And
that's finally how I beat it, was by using a guide.
Yeah.
And I beat it on the Prime Collection. So I was actually playing didn't that have the upgraded controls for the Wii?
Yep.
On all of those. Yeah. So the trilogy, all of them used, the Wii style controls like that. That helped.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, and I guess the part of it is that like playing, coming off of Super Metroid and coming from Fusion too, where Fusion just makes Samus's movements feel so fluid and easy to use, it just kind of felt clunky. Like especially those sections where you're platforming, those really small platforms, and you've got to go all, like up multiple floors and things like that. I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do these things. But I'm not saying that I'm like totally ever closed off to ever replaying this game. It's just, it wasn't like one of those experiences for me that really grabbed a hold of me and made me go, man, this is, I like, people would talk about it and they'd be like, oh, it's game of the year. It's my game of a lifetime. I'm like, I don't get it. I don't.
One of the biggest problems with the game is the controls, right? Like, it's not a standard first person shooter. Like, let me just look around with the sticks. Like, I hope I've got big hopes for 4. I'm like, they better just make it a regular first person shooter and give us a good multiplayer. Like, let Metroid become the Halo or what did PlayStation have? Killzone or I don't even know,
Yeah, Killzone, like, probably, or like, let, yeah, something let, like that.
I can't even remember now. Resistance or something, wasn't that it? But that's what I want to see. And when I first jumped into Metroid Prime and I couldn't just look around with the C-stick, I had to click in the trigger to shoot. I'm like, this is not fluid. This isn't fluid. The platforming, I thought – I didn't mind that. I'm like, I thought that they did a good job with it, but I could totally see where it could be a point of frustration for people too. And – And once I got past that, and what I feel like it was still like Nintendo trying to say, oh no, we don't have a violent first person shooter. We have a first person adventure game, you know? And it's like, no, just give us violence. Eternal Darkness came out. It's rated M, you know, like just like the fact that they didn't go all the way kind of hindered it a little bit. Yeah. I still really enjoyed the game. I played it through to completion. It was, you know, it was, I really liked it. But my initial thoughts on it were like, why can't I just look with the C-stick? I've got like at least two Bond games on the GameCube already, like Nightfire and Agents Under Fire. And it's just a regular first-person shooter. And then we get Metroid, and it's not just a regular first-person shooter. And I can totally see why that would turn some people off.
At the same time, though, like I don't think that anybody really wanted Metroid to become just another first person shooter, right? Like it was a first person exploration game first, which is what those 2D platformers were as well, right? And so like in that sense, I feel like if Metroid ever gets, and maybe this is, you know, a little bit of a, I don't want to say a concern, but like if we lose the exploration, then it feels weird, right? Like there's, like, I feel like it was a, for the time especially, like, it never really, and maybe this is because I never really played a whole lot of first-person shooters that much, but it never, I personally never felt like it was too, like, it was clunky, because it felt like, let's be real for a second, that Super Metroid, the controls in that game were never, you know, I mean, they were precise, but the shooting in that wasn't like, oh man, this is like some great action. It's you shoot forward or you shoot 45 degree angle and, or you shoot up. Right. And I think that was, in that sense, it felt like a true, adaptation of that, or like a translation to 3D, if that makes sense. But I hear what you're saying too, right? Like I like for a lot of people who are seeing, like, who kind of have these ideas of, oh man, it's in 3D now, like this, it's a 3D first person shooter, and like just kind of going in wanting that, like I can see why you'd be disappointed, because that, I don't think that was ever their intention to begin with.
Well, I mean, like, because most third person shooters that we play, if you think about it, they don't have a lot of platforming. Mm-hmm. You know, there's levels to the world. Of course it's in 3D, so there's going to be levels to the world, but like you're not like having to do jumps over a small little series of platforms
or
whatever. You're
saying that now, and now I'm realizing, like, oh, the platforming in this game,
like there's specifically one part of this that I remember, and maybe it's in like Norfair or somewhere, or the, it's not Norfair because you're in Talon 4. There's a lava.
Oh, here, area, let me find it.
You have to go down into this pit to get an item, and I think it's like the space jump or something, and you get down to the bottom and you get the item, and then you have to the way back up.
It's Magmore Caverns. Here you go.
Yeah, music's fantastic.
There you go. I'll leave it running for a second. Anyway,
and so like you're down in the bottom of these caverns, and you get this item, and you're having to come all the way back up, and these platforms are tiny. And there were times that I would just like walk away from the game. It was like, I've got to take a break, like, because I can't. You're getting attacked by space pirates at the same time, and it's like it's not like the simple ones that are easy to kill. It's like the silver ones or whatever, you know. And just that, it felt like a mess. And I, like the whole time, I'm like, you know, if they just made a ramp, you know, like a little spiral ramp, or you know, a way to take the morph ball. Back up there. In fact, my most enjoyable moments of that game were when you could get in the morph ball and I could actually see Samus, you know, and I could move around, and I was like, oh, why can't we have more of this?
You know why?
Why?
Because Shigeru Miyamoto said, make it first person.
Well, there you go.
It was originally a third person shooter, and they said, and he said, no, make it first person.
And see, if it had been third person, I think the platforming would have probably worked a little bit better.
You know what, though?
Yeah, at the very least, switch to it for the platforming.
You know what, right? Though? Like, I think what happened, though, was like, because there's a bunch of footage out there that you can find for Metroid 64. And I think what I think that they've tried to do that for a long time, and I wonder if it just didn't work, right? Like if they felt like, no, we're losing too much of this, it's coming becoming something else entirely. I don't like they weren't happy with it, and so. And so then I think also drawing from that first person stuff. Yeah. Anyways, there was a bunch of different stuff that I saw online of, you know, the Metroid 64 and how some of these lessons from that ended up translating into Metroid Prime. But
and here's the thing about like Prime, you know, you guys were saying earlier about that. Let me see if I can rephrase what you were saying here, that, you know, like the it didn't. About the exploration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, like, I'm fine with, I would be fine with having a Metroid game with exploration. In fact, I like that aspect of Metroid Prime, you know, the scanning, the finding different things, it revealing weaknesses and stuff. But, like, when Metroid Prime 4 comes out, I'm with Josh. If it just doesn't just control, like,
oh, it's got to,
it's supposed
like
to,
else, man.
Then that it's all for naught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I've got my right stick that lets me look around, and I've got my left stick that moves me around. Please,
oh, there's no way
Nintendo,
that's not
for the love of God.
There's no way that's not how it works. Right? Like, that's the only way that they could possibly do it now. Just because it's such a... It is such
because
a...
Because it's got... You've got to have that... like, you were talking about that you just didn't want another first-person shooter, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take the exploration out of it, you've basically just got Doom.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
well,
and so there's got to be the item, you know, like the progressive upgrades. There's got to be that. And there's got to be that exploration of finding things, of advancing the story. And the thing about it is Prime did, we can credit this with this. Prime did bring us a richness to the Metroid story that we did not have previously.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's anything that you can credit this game for, it's that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, do you guys remember the first time you landed in some of these areas and you just looked around and it was like so vast and so big? And it was like, okay, this is like nothing I've ever done, right? Because, I mean, if you think about it, other than like there, like I said, there were some Bond games that were first person shooters. Before that, it was the 64. You had like Perfect Dark and GoldenEye.
Totally.
Right? So now we're seeing like – we're literally looking at stuff that we had – previously only seen in two D. And so it's like, this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that alone, like seeing those worlds is part of the drive to just completely like, I need to see this. I want to see where it goes. I want to complete this level. How can I get up there? What am I going to need to get over there? When, oh, I've got to remember to come back to this place as soon as I get this weapon, you know, like, and that was definitely some of the magic of that game because I couldn't put it down. I could not put it down. It had me. It had me good.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like that. I'll kind of go into this. Like I said at the beginning of us talking about this, that Fusion kind of colored my perception of Prime negatively. And I think one of the two things that really did that. Number one was we've already talked about the controls, the kind of clunkiness about it. But number two, I never felt in Fusion like I was just wandering around aimlessly,
mm-hmm.
you know, figuring out what I needed to do next. At least at certain points in Fusion, they would say, here's the point you need to go to, you know, and here's the beacon. And they would even like shut off ways to go in different places. So you would go to that one place. I wish they had done that with Metroid Prime.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had at least had, you know, here's the arrow. This is where you go. And yes, I do like a little bit of hand holding in my games.
I was going to say that was like the biggest complaint everybody had with that game. It was too linear in hand holding.
I do. And the reason for that is because I play games to enjoy. I play games to advance a story. I play games to escape reality.
Makes sense.
You know, I want to just have a good time.
Marty's got way too much wandering around aimlessly, not knowing what the heck he's doing in real life.
I mean,
right?
That's just my life. It's just day to day.
Yeah,
you're gonna need to get like an eye implant so your wife can just send you in like waypoints. Like, there's where you need to go, hon. Just
look.
Like,
that was nope, that was the nope, big hope nope, of Google Glass, man. I'd finally know where I was going.
That's amazing. So I mean, like, let's go. What's interesting too is that, you know, when they made that transition from 2D to 3D, like, so we got some new abilities. We got some, like, I actually didn't realize until Samus Returns came out that the spider ball was not an original thing in this. I always thought that it was original. And then, oh wait, no, it was in Metroid 2. Shows what I know. I don't know, whatever. One of the things that was really divisive in this, though, was the scan visor. One of the things that I saw, it was just like, apparently in Japan, the scan visor thing is actually like, people enjoy doing it, which I find really surprising. I don't know. But I always was just like, I would do it for about, I did it for about like the first hour that I played the game. And then I'm like, nope, not doing this crap anymore. maybe I'll do it for the boss so that I know what its weaknesses are or something, right? But other than that, screw this noise. I'm not doing it. I don't know. Was there anything, like any cool, any parts of this game that you guys, and like power-ups or things like that, that you feel are like noteworthy or that you really enjoyed using?
The grapple, like the grappling hook or whatever, like that was once that started happening, it was like, oh man, we're swinging around now. Like that was, it was like once I got to that point of having that thing, it, I felt like it opened up so much more of the game, like, you know. And that's one of those, I mean, and that's the way the game's designed, right? Like the Nintendo's great at doing that with their level design. I mean, Zelda does the same kind of thing, like, oh, I'm gonna need the hook shot for that and that kind of stuff. And so getting that and just swinging around in some of those levels and I loved it. That's, I mean, and I haven't played this game since the first time I played through it. What, 4, 5, like, ugh, what is it, 16 years ago when it came out, you know? Yeah. So like I picked it up again today and played it on the Wii U, or yeah, on the Wii basically. And, but didn't even get that far. And the man, the controls are hard for me with the to use the Wii remote. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, the grapple hook was definitely one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. I think for me that, you know, in past Metroid games, it was like, all right, you've got the charge beam and now you've got the ice beam and all of those combined together. But now you've got the spacer beam, you know, or the wave beam, or, and you know, it changes. But it was never like, it was always an upward upgrade. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was never, you have to swap these, you have to swap these beams, mm-hmm. and you have to use certain beams at certain times. And I thought that was really good. I really enjoyed that mechanic of the game. But I also, like, I think the biggest thing for me was for it to step forward, you know, like Super Metroid was huge and it was fantastic, such a great game, and it wasn't linear. I mean, I guess there is a point A and a point B, right? But I mean, there's lots of extras to find and all that good stuff. You don't have to finish it with 100% completion. You can leave the animals on the planet to die, you know, if you're a cold and heartless person and all
don't
that
do
good
that.
Stuff.
Don't
yeah. Do that. And so but like with Prime, to take it into that next dimension, there had to be like a step up, and having those multiple visors, mm-hmm. you know, like being able to swap, like just made Samus feel so cool.
Totally.
I guess. And I think that's like, to me, that's the big thing. That was my thing, that like I would swap, you know, I'm constantly swapping back and forth. Right. Because who knows, I'm going to find something in this room to scan, you know. And I've often thought that maybe, and they did this really with Samus Returns, right? I mean, you were able to scan the environment around you and see, you know, like if there's a secret in that room or whatever. Mm-hmm. But man, like bringing that element into 2D, I would love to see that. Like, you know, you're cataloging, you know, the animals or not, you know, the creatures that you find, you're cataloging items, you're cataloging different stuff like that. Just adds to that, because, you know, Samus Returns was great, but it definitely felt way more run and gun than any other Metroid, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it totally
there was,
did.
It was super combat heavy.
It absolutely was. And it
Which
felt
it
like
needed to be, it goes along with the story. But
yeah, absolutely. Like it was very combat heavy. And I do agree that if there's one thing there is that it was, the exploration was,
it didn't feel like exploration. It felt like an assassination mission.
Yeah.
It was like bounty hunting basically. Right.
It was like, bounty. Hey, it was,
let's just go. I've got to
press forward. I've got to get these Metroids and I got to get out of here.
Yeah, which, yeah, like you said, that's exactly what it was. But also, yeah, like I feel like the, what did they call the different abilities? Your Aeon abilities?
Yeah.
The Seeker one, whatever the one was like, hey, where's all the secret blocks? I use that all the time. And because it was available, right? And so I was like, okay, well, I'll just use it. But I do feel like it maybe was a little too, like it was very easy to fall into using that too much. Right. And that, and to the point where it was just like, oh, okay, well, I guess now I, you know, I found.
Oh, yeah. I use that thing everywhere.
Yeah. And I do kind of wish, like, in some sense, too, like some of the other Metroid games, you would, and I guess with Samus Returns as well, it was very much like, oh, hey, that looks like a spot where a block would be. And some of the stuff in Samus Returns, it was like, okay, well, they got lazy in where they put it and like didn't design it so that it was sort of visually representing, hey, there's a thing here that you should go through. You know, and so it feels a lot better when you find that stuff on your own instead of having to rely on the little reveal feature, I guess. But anyways, yeah.
One of the things that was really nice, you guys remember killing stuff and then they would drop the health or the missiles or whatever, and you could just charge your beam and it would bring everything to you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to. That was so nice. Like, cause I mean, every other Metroid, it was, oh, okay, I've killed this stuff. I've got to run over here and grab it. You know, that, like just that ability. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm a lazy bounty hunter, I guess, but I really liked that feature, especially if it was like, I can't even jump to where those guys are and I need that health. It still gave you the opportunity to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. For sure. So what here? So here's my question for you guys. Now I'm going to play this. Where is it? This is literally something we heard at E3. It's 43 seconds. So like brace yourselves. This is like, it like shook the internet. I don't know if you, at least it, I was super excited about it. Right. Which actually is the exact same sound that I already played, so I don't know why I pumped you up for something that I... Actually, no, there's some crazy bass, right? The number 4 shows up. Metroid Prime 4 is coming. I think at this point we're assuming it's 2019, right? At the very earliest.
Most likely.
What are you wanting out of Metroid Prime 4? Like... And I think, you know, looking at the entire history of the franchise, now we've had Metroid Prime 1, 2, and 3. We've had Metroid Prime Hunters. We've had Metroid Prime Federation Force. Where do we see this franchise going from here? Like, it seems like the two most recent, actually, other than basically everything other than the first two Metroid Prime games have been all about like, let's flesh out the world, let's introduce more characters, let's introduce, like, you know, have people caring about characters other than Samus. Do you guys see that's maybe the direction that they'd go here? Like, I think Josh, you mentioned earlier, like the multiplayer possibility, right? Like what if I actually would love if they were to reintroduce like some of these other characters. I love the idea that like Samus has this particular kit that everybody knows and loves, right? You've got like the missile launcher and the morph ball and whatever. And I think Metroid Prime Hunters played with the idea that like, okay, well, everybody kind of transforms into something, but you don't really know what it is. And they've all got slightly different weapons. And I don't know. It'd be interesting. I feel like it'd be interesting if they explored that more. Maybe just in the multiplayer, but maybe they even let you play as some of these other characters. I don't know. What do you think? Like, where are either of you guys at on what you want out of Metroid Prime 4?
I mean, the first thing I want obviously is a great exploration Metroid game, right? I want this to continue moving this series forward. The first one I played to completion. The second one, I got to a certain point that I didn't have enough health in a boss fight, and I couldn't beat it. Like, I had to start the game over, and then I walked at that point because I had gotten an Xbox 360, and I'm like, I can't. I'm not invested enough.
Ain't nobody got and time so, for this. Yeah.
What's that?
I said, ain't nobody got time for this.
Yeah, and it was really a frustrating thing though, because I'm like, I literally am stuck at a save point where I have a splinter of health, and there's a door locked behind me. I can't leave to go.
Oh, no.
to go heal up and then fight this boss. So, so it was a bummer. I want to see. I have very high expectations for this game, and I talk about on my podcast a lot, like trying to help people manage expectations. But I want, like, Metroid does okay with sales, but it's not like really, really great, right? I want to see Nintendo create that. I want this Metroid to have buzz. I want people to be talking about it. I want the word of mouth about this game. Like, if you like multiplayer, this is the game for you. If you want a good adventure, this is the game for you. You know, I'm putting a lot on it, but I think Nintendo can do it. And I think, you know, I think they can, if they have to delay it or whatever, you know, so be it. But I want the best of both worlds. I mean, Halo did it back in the day. Incredible campaign, incredible multiplayer, you know, and it really, I mean, and that series was great for a really long time. And then it has since kind of just fallen off. But so I expect a lot from this game, and I'm going to be happy with it as long as it's even similar to the first, second, or third game. But I hope we get so much more. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, right on. What about you, Marty?
I think that for this game to be a success, first and foremost, what it has to do is it has to concentrate on being an incredible single player experience first, mm-hmm. kind of along the lines of what Josh said. And then if it does give us multiplayer, then great. But the multiplayer cannot and should not be an afterthought. It needs to be something that feels right for Metroid, right? And mm-hmm. I don't feel like we're there yet. I don't feel like we've even gotten close to being there yet. Even with, it was Metroid Prime Hunters, right? That had multiplayer on the DS.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't feel like we're there.
Yeah.
Or we've even gotten close to there yet. And I don't, to be honest, I don't know that we can get there. It's kind of like multiplayer in Metroid to me kind of feels like having multiplayer in a Tomb Raider game.
Oh, which, don't worry. They've already done that.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. But see, that's the thing, is like, we laugh about it because the idea is kind of ridiculous, you know, but you would think that this kind of lends itself to that. But again, but the problem with multiplayer in Metroid is that you do have to dumb it down just to being a shooter,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you end up gutting a lot of what makes Metroid awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that what Nintendo needs to do, especially on the Switch version, is just lean real heavy into those strengths. Metroid has never been a purely combat game.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's also never been a pure exploration game. So, you know, live into that tension and find a way to make it, you know, make it spectacular. I'm with you. Like, it's got to come out swinging. It's got to be because and it really has a good chance to do that, because a lot of the first person shooter franchises are starting to show fatigue, you know, especially even Halo is.
Oh, so much. Yeah.
So you've got this like timing and interesting concept, you know, together, and you can really make a splash. But to be honest, too, I would love to see, even if it's 3D, there's got to be a place to take this story after Fusion,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's really what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm excited for people, because, like, I was excited to get Samus Returns, even though it was a remake. I'm excited for fans of Prime who are super jacked about this game, but I want Metroid Dread or whatever it is, you know, that's that's been out there for forever. I want what comes after now she's a Metroid hybrid, right? Yeah. Like I need to know. I need to find out. And, you know, I get that little spoiler alert. There's a post credit scene in Samus Returns that shows the X parasite, right? And I get that that is, you know, just to tie it into the rest of the series, but man, that makes me want more post fusion. I really need that. And so go ahead and get Metroid Prime 4 out of the way, and then give me the Metroid I want.
Are you wanting 4 to have Samus be in that the fusion suit?
I would totally be okay with that, but I don't think so, because I think the Prime naming, right? Yeah. I think the Prime naming thing indicates that it's in that time frame between Metroid 1 and Metroid 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too, like, kind of going along with that, Marty, you know, thinking that they do need to have a that exploration there. And I loved, I didn't really talk about it, and there's not really a whole lot to say, but I actually really love the fusion suit as well. Like, the playing Metroid Prime in the fusion suit is super cool, right? And you don't even really get to see it, but every once in a while, when the camera pans out and you've got like green and purple Samus, is just like awesome, right? Like, it's super cool. And so I would love to have that kind of thing. I would love, honestly, and I'm sitting, for the very first time, yes, literally yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'm feeling like I could really dig into like a very, like into like a big sort of like traditional fantasy RPG I haven't played in a really long time. Like, and so I picked up Skyrim, never played Skyrim. If they basically made Metroid Prime 4 Skyrim in space, I feel like that would be, like, I feel like let's go that direction, right? You've got like a big open world. You could just drop her on a planet that's literally, you know, like Breath of the Wild style or like Skyrim size, right? You could have all sorts of power-ups and whatever, and you're constantly maybe, you know, I'm just spitballing here, but like powering up and tinkering with your suit or like upgrading your suit, adding new modifications to it, you know, managing all sorts of stuff like that. I think that would be really cool. And kind of using that as a way of, you know, having the ability to do all sorts of different things within this world, and put it in a world that is, like a planet that is very, you know, populated, or maybe you have what they should do is absolutely is to have a bunch of different planets that are populated, that you could do things, but also like you're going out into the freaking wilderness on this planet. And, you know, I think Skyrim in space, I think would be a really cool way to take Metroid Prime moving forward. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
At that point, I mean, you might as well add Battle Royale too, since that's the new hotness, right? So we get a little Fortnite Metroid going on.
Like, yeah. Well, actually, honestly, what I was thinking is like, because they've already got all these casts of this cast of characters or whatever, just make this thing like take all of those characters that are already there, add a bunch more. You know, you have a basic sort of, each one of them has a kit, like I was saying before, and just do Overwatch, right? Basically just do Overwatch again, or like that kind of a mode where it's more objective based. I think that helps navigate the whole problem of this just being a first person shooter. It becomes something, you know, more than that, because it's more objective based, maybe throw in some co-op multiplayer modes or something. I don't know. But
yeah, and I know we need to start winding this down, but I just, that made me think, like, if it's team based, you know, and you have a goal or whatever, you know, one bounty hunter has to get to the other side and scan the enemy's plans, and you have to protect them while they're scanning, you know, something like that. I don't know. That would be pretty cool. Or, you know, transport the Metroid to the lab. You know, it's like bomb the base or
capture
whatever,
the flag or whatever.
Yeah. You capture the Metroid.
The thing that I've wanted to see them do with this series, because I wanted some kind of Metroid, right? We finally got the 3DS version of Samus Returns, which was awesome. But I thought a way for them to reach the Metroid fans and maybe reach some new people is put out like an indie game, like a Metroid Fusion 2, and then continually add bounties, right? To where you have to go to another planet and take something out, take out the boss. Like they could give us bite-sized versions of Metroid just to wet that whistle for a really long time. I was surprised to see 4, and I'm really stoked to see 4. So,
Yeah, I'm super excited for it. Right on, man. Well, that is Metroid Prime. I think that it's going to be good, man. I kind of at this point just need to believe that that's the case, because if it ends up sucking, then that's going to here's the thing though, is Nintendo has not put out a bad game in how long now? Maybe that's a bad question. I feel like they have set a very high standard for themselves on the Switch. And so we can probably be relatively confident that it's going to be good. I don't know. I don't know. They're not. So anyways. Yeah.
But I think you're correct.
Yeah. So I think that is, it's going to be good. I'm excited. Metroid Prime, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Retro Rewind. N64 Josh, tell us, where do people go and find more of your stuff, man?
Yeah, so everywhere on the internet, it's N64 Josh, whether it be Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, Farmers Only, all the above. It's all N64 Josh. I am the host of the Nintendo PowerCast, not to be confused with the Nintendo Power Podcast. Good branding there, I guess.
That's and so, so funny, dude.
That's I do about 2 shows a week on there, and that's where you're gonna find me.
Right on, man. Awesome. So thanks so much for being on the show, dude. It's been awesome having you.
Yeah, thank you for the invite. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah. As well, to everybody who is hanging out with us, whether you're live or catching this on the podcast feed, feel free to subscribe to the show. Leave us a like if you are on YouTube. See, I've been making YouTube videos and I'm falling into that trope here instead of my outro. What's going on here? So if you want to follow us on the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. And of course, if you want to change the world, go over to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you can leave a review, print out a little flyer and like go put it on telephone poles, whatever it is. Spread the Nintendo Dads gospel across the land, and that is how we're going to change the world. Finally, you can subscribe on all of your favorite podcatchers, that too, of choice. So thank you to everybody once again, for me, for Marty, and for Josh. We will see you later. Bye-bye.
Later.
I feel like I could have chosen better outro music, but it was really ominous that way.